Blog Talk Radio.
You know my starter won't start this morning. Boy, and my motor won't even turn. You know my starter won't start this morning. Boy, and my motor won't even turn. You know I've been running with a fast class of women. Now they've called my little car to run.
That's Lightning Hopkins. He's great. I'm Chris Block, and I feel great. And you have Puck Chatter Radio here on this. It's not the 29th, and it's not the 30th, Superstar. It's Thursday night, May the 31st. I don't know why that won't stop. 2012, it's 8:01 here in Chicago. I am Chris Block, writer, editor, and keeper of thethirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com, and we are here tonight on blogtalkradio.com, lots of .coms. Superstar, how you doing?
I am well. How are you this fine Thursday afternoon, evening?
I feel great. Everything is great. The weekend was awesome. We had Vegas, and then compounded the problem by going straight to Arlington Park on Monday. And where we won money, Superstar.
We won a little bit of money.
Yes, we won enough money that we went across the street to Trackside and we left it all there.
Yeah, they get it eventually. It you know, you may take it from one, but you're giving it somewhere else.
But overall, it was a good week. And it's just crazy, crazy busy right now. I mean, it's so busy. It's going to be busy for me personally for the next couple of weeks. There's a lot of fun to be had this summer. You know, we've got plugs that we're going to have coming up here in a little bit. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Obviously, the Blackhawks made a whole bunch of news. Stan Bowman came out and started spewing stuff, and we're going to talk about that too. Blackhawks signed Jamal Mayers, Johnny Oduya. Some prospects were signed. Stan Bowman commented on his little party bus. Patrick Kane, and Stanley Cup Finals are on. What did you think of Game 1?
I thought it was good. I really did. I heard the ratings weren't very solid. I heard it was down pretty significantly from last year. But I thought the game was great. I think this is going to be a great series. I thought the Devils pushed back a lot more than I thought they would the middle portion of that game. But I think the Kings are too much.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about the rating. I haven't been on the Twitter, or really, I was just talking to somebody about 20 minutes ago. It was kind of catching me up to speed on what was going on with the Blackhawks. So you're gonna, you know, we're kind of just gonna go as we go along here. I'm gonna kind of look at my notes and we'll kind of go by that. But yeah, I didn't hear anything about the rating. I saw most of the game one between the Devils and the Kings on Wednesday night. And, you know, a lot like what you said there, I think to me, and I predicted the series, I guess, privately. I didn't really put it anywhere, but Kings in six. I know you said Kings in five.
Yeah, I think this will be one of those series that almost all the games are really close. I don't really see any game that gets out of hand as far as the scoring goes. I think we may be in line for another game or two of overtime. But I think it's just going to be one of those series. Kings win in five, but all the games are heavily contested.
Well, I think it's going to be a great series as far as is the games being close. I think the determining factor for me is LA's got a little bit more talent. I think their goaltending is better. And, they're a team that I really believe can you know, I picked them in six, but I'm giving Jersey a lot of credit to win a couple at home here. I think it'd be very difficult for the Kings to win it in five, and that's why I went six. I think the Kings are good enough to sweep. I really appreciated what the Devils did to the Rangers in that series in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I have to give them more respect. And you know, I mean, I think the Kings are the class of the series, but I just couldn't go 4 or 6 for the Kings, even though it's very possible. I don't mean to sort of be all over the place there, but that's kind of how I see it. We're going to do some emails tonight, and we're going to try it, Superstar. This is probably ill-advised, but we have two. Now, we have two, for people that were with us last week, we have two emailers that are asking for romance advice.
This is going to be doomed from the start.
We're going to save it to the end. Yeah, we're going to save it to the end because I'm sure there's people that, really, maybe they don't, well, they'll probably listen just to hear, you know, how terrible it's going to be. But we're going to save it to the end. I've already briefed you on what these are. But I just got to say this. I know, I've met some of the people that listen to the show, and I walk around and I see Blackhawks fans, and I know you all have problems. I know that you need advice. There's got to be more than two people that need advice. So.
Yeah. You and I have both been in the 300 level many, many times. But yeah, there's a lot of people that need help.
I could use some advice, Superstar. You want to help me out?
I'll do my best.
So I was thinking about asking my door woman out on a date.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Well, you don't even know anything about.
But anytime you
can
throw yourself.
Can I at least describe?
But here's the deal. Anytime you can throw yourself out there, it's a good thing.
You know what? It hasn't been a good thing, though. So that's why I want some advice. this is the reason why first of all, we've got the eye contact thing going on every day, which I don't make eye contact with a lot of people, and certainly a lot of people don't like making eye contact back with me, so I got that going for me. Number two, she's Eastern European. And she's tall. She's good looking, and she's Eastern European, and she's got the accents, which I like. I have looked into the situation a little bit further. I'm a guy that is very particular about a lot of things, but here's my problem. I don't want to go too much into it. Here's my problem though, Superstar. She is my door woman, at the office. She's my door woman. So, you know, they say about, not getting involved in the office place, you know. Do I really want to get involved with my door woman?
Well, I guess the first question I have is there another door you can use?
No, there's only one way. There's one way in.
If it goes sour, you know, maybe you just use a different entrance, and that solves the problem. It's a very loose, like you mentioned, they say you don't want to, eat where you crap, so to speak. The inner office romances go bad, and next thing you know, somebody needs to leave the company. This is kind of a looser version of that. I think you're all right.
It could cause problems. I could be having to push the button for myself. You know, I mean, so it could cause problems. But
yeah, I highly suggest looking into different routes. I mean, is there a Pedway entrance maybe into the building that you could, you know, sidestep per, so to speak, if it goes sour? You know, we'll look into that one.
She's new, and I asked someone today what the story was, because she just showed up on the scene last week. This is her second full week, and I, you know, if I'm gonna do this, I want to get in there first. You know what I'm saying? So, I asked around. I said, "Is she temporary?" It's like, no. The guy that would work the first shift, he's gone back to school, so she's kind of, you know, she's there. So,
I think you gotta straight up a conversation. We need more info. Because I have friends in the office who are married to Eastern European women, and, you know, next thing you know, their mother comes over to visit, and, you know, her mother's in your house for a month and a half. So you got to be careful, but let's get some more info, but I say go for it.
I could use some. I shouldn't date anymore unless I do a full background check. I interview all their friends and family just to determine determine a lot of things. Number one, level of immaturity. But anyway, so what do you want to start with tonight? You want to talk Patrick Kane, because we talked about Patrick Kane a couple of weeks ago. Stan Bowman came out. Yeah, Stan Bowman in his in some signings that we're going to talk about a little bit later on. Stan Bowman came out and was asked about Patrick Kane and the photos that showed up on Deadspin a few weeks ago after the Cinco de Mayo weekend that Patrick Kane spent up in Madison, getting drunk and walking around in a homemade Patrick Kane "I'm Too Drinky" shirt. Which I actually thought was funny. I didn't take offense to him making fun of himself, but
I thought that was funny. Although the thing that concerns me about that is if you're gonna first of all make that shirt and then wear it to an outing like that, it's kind of. I mean, you and I have been there. There's
don't fall asleep at the bar.
I mean, we've done that too, but it was premeditated. You know. A certain night that you go out, that you're on a mission, and that the only mission is to fall asleep at a bar. So I almost told you it was a premeditated, you know, hey, we're not just going out having a few drinks and things got out of control. This was we're going out to get wrecked sort of situation. I go back and forth. I understand the Blackhawks point of view, you know, the cabby incident, the limo in Vancouver, there's definitely a pattern here. However, he's a kid, you know, doing what kids do. And as long as he's not breaking the law, it's in the off season. It's not like they had a playoff game the next day. For me, as long as he's not breaking the law and getting into trouble, he's a 23-year-old kid out in a college town having a good time. If I could give him a suggestion, maybe let's do a little less over the top and maybe find some more low-key joints to go to and try not to get photographed as much, but I don't have a big problem with it as a lot of people do.
Here's what Stan Bowman said earlier this week. Obviously, we are aware of the situation. We have followed it closely. It's one of the things where we've discussed it with Patrick. We've handled that internally. We're obviously disappointed with how it played out, and Patrick is aware of that fact. But at this point, it's a private matter. You know, I don't have any problem with the way that Stan addressed that. That's the way he should address it. I wouldn't be happy, though, unless this is something the team leaked to Adam Johns with a purpose, Adam Johns of the Sun-Times, the comments that have gotten the most play are the off-the-record quotes that have wound up in Adam Johns' piece, which is basically a team source, Adam Johns citing a team source saying, he's obviously got some issues. How many more times can these things happen? It's a much bigger thing than some photographs. in a 48-hour window. I would hope that the Blackhawks didn't leak that, because there's absolutely no good that can come out of, you know, putting that out there. And obviously that's just, you know, I'm just throwing that thought out there because, you know, it's the way that, you know, I know a lot of people are upset with Stan Bowman about his comment about it's a private thing. We've handled it internally. We've discussed it with him. That's what he should say. I mean, publicly, the Blackhawks should not make a big deal out of this, and they should brush it off. Because, number one, if you want to trade Patrick Kane, and I don't think they do. I know they don't. But let's just say that that becomes something you discuss at some point. The last thing you want to do is run down your guy's value. He's one of the best players in the world. The last thing you want to do is devalue Patrick Kane. And running him down in the media and feeding, you know, the public's perception that, you know, he's some alcoholic, which, you know, I don't know whether he is or not, but, you know, that does you no good. You have to handle it internally. And number two, it's like in the age that we live in, so, you know, with all your camera phones and all of it, and the way that information travels, to feed this monster, you know, that the Deadspin likes to create and all of that, well, now where can Patrick Kane go where someone's not lurking around the corner waiting for him to take a sip of a beer so they can take a picture of it? I mean, you know, it does you no good. I think that what Stan Bowman said on the record, wherever Adam John's got that team source thing, and I know that's getting the most play because it's the sexiest quote, but I wouldn't be happy about that one. You know, whoever said that, I mean, that does your team, that does your player, that does this whole situation no good for that to be coming from the Blackhawks. It's one thing for some dope on Chicago Now or, you know, fans in general to, you know, build this thing up to a level of hysteria. But for the Blackhawks, like I said, to feed it, it does nobody any good at all.
No, you're absolutely right.
I'll say this, though. The one thing that does need to happen, you know, and when Patrick Kane wants to unwind for, you know, a weekend or a couple of weeks after the season, that's fine. As long as he's not breaking the law or doing anything, that's fine. With Patrick's, what I'm concerned or most focused on with Patrick Kane is what he said after the season was that the reason why he didn't want to play for the U.S. at the World Championships because he wanted to rest. You know, you could say, oh, well, he went to Madison. Well, I mean, he's just, you know, blowing off some steam, whatever. You know, he wanted to rest, and he wanted to focus on working on his game this summer. Well, that's what he better be doing. Because you have a guy who can be one of the elite players of his era. And, you know, he could be that this coming year if he concentrates on improving his game, if he gets that level of commitment. That's what I want to see out of him. So I will judge Patrick Kane on whether or not that's something that he sticks to. If he's good by his word, then he can go once a month and blow off steam in Madison or wherever he wants to do it. I don't care. As long as he's strong to his word that's what his focus is this summer, then I'm satisfied with what Patrick Kane's doing. Number two, you see him around all the time. He's omnipresent. Patrick Kane's father needs to go the fuck home. I'm sick and tired of seeing him at the United Center. He needs to let his kid grow up. He needs to detach himself from this. Go home and watch your kid from your living room in Buffalo. You know, I think Mr. Kane likes the attention. I think that, I won't make assumptions, but he definitely likes the attention of being around and being Patrick Kane's dad. And I don't think that rubs off well on Patrick Kane. I think he needs to go home.
Why do you? You hit it perfectly. It's, you know, I how old was Patrick Kane when he first came here? 20 or 19?
Well, he was 18 when he came.
Okay, so, you know, you have an 18-year-old kid that's moving to a different city, you know, and it's not like Patrick Kane's never been away from home. Let's get that, you know. This isn't a kid who was living in his parents' basement until the Blackhawks came calling, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, pack your shit, you're going to Chicago. You know, he's in London, and, you know, he's been out of the house. Fine. You want to come here for a year to make sure your kid's getting settled and you know, settling in, but you're right. The kid is now, you know, many years into this. He's to the point where he needs to grow up. Cut the you know, the cord and let him grow up on his own. Trust your job that you did for the first 17 years as a parent that your kid is going to find his way in life and make the right choices without you over his shoulder. And that goes for every parent. You know, that's not just a Patrick Kane thing. That's a every parent thing. So you're absolutely right. Now, and you mentioned Patrick Kane. You know, you see him around town. He, you know, he's here, he's there. And after the Sam Bowman comment, I was asked a question, and you may recall more than I did. But I think our buddy Sam Felds wrote on Second City that he said that Patrick Kane has actually been asked not to frequent a few establishments in the city over, you know, maybe some incidents or not. And I didn't remember hearing that. I don't know if you did or not.
Well, you know, I mean, there are always people have stories about a lot of different things that they think that they see, you know, and again, you know, how true were the stories that came out of Madison? You know, you have a bunch of allegedly, well, let's just say, you have an allegedly drunk Patrick Kane, and you have people that are recounting their supposed stories. You know, how allegedly sober were they that they could, you know, remember these, you know, what Patrick Kane was doing accurately? And I think the same thing goes on in Chicago. You know, and there are people that want to, you know, they'll sensationalize anything, because the truth is often very boring. So if you spice, you know, you spice it up a little bit, then you got a story. You know, so I mean, I hear things all the time. You know, and I mean, I don't pay any attention. I pay very little attention to them. You know, just because if something was worth, you know, if it was worth anything, I hear it from more than one or two sources. And, you know, some things, I mean, listen, I saw someone write, I was just sifting through things online today, and someone say that Jonathan Toews doesn't have the same problems that Patrick Kane does, or doesn't do the same things that Patrick Kane does. That's BS. He's just, you know, I think that he's I think Jonathan Toews is a little bit more mature, a little bit, and I think he's more careful about what he does, and I think he also has better people around him.
Yeah, I agree.
Jonathan
Toews
is not a choir boy. I'm not talking about what happened in North Dakota. I'm talking about now. So, you know, that's just like this, it's the same thing. It's like, why, you know,
well,
I don't. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, too, and you know what? How many times, and I'm not saying Patrick Kane wasn't completely annihilated up in Madison. You know, for God's sake, he probably was. But, you know, what do you have? You have 7 or 8 individual still pitchers. You know, I can, the guy sitting next to him at the bar could have been told him a joke, and he bent over and was laughing or looking down at something. Yeah, it looked like he was passed out. But unless you're there under the circumstances, you know, those are still photographs that can be easily taken out of context. Now, they probably weren't, but you have to look at all situations that could have come out, you know, with one picture with him with a couple of girls. Okay, so what? You know, and you know, I don't like the rush to judgment, even though in this case, common sense is he was up there getting bombed. But, you know, are the Philadelphia Flyer fans going nuts over the pictures of Claude Giroux playing beer pong with casts on both of his wrists with a, if I remember right, she was a playmate in his house? You know, is that a huge uproar in Philadelphia right now? I don't think so.
I want to move forward, but before we do that, I want to go back to last week's show. I got a lot of feedback on the interview with Steven Nelson, and in particular, the story that he told Ben Smith and Ben Smith's relationship with, as we talked about, the Rockford area 19-year-old who found out that he had cancer and he didn't have very long to live. And Ben Smith went and met him, and they developed a friendship. And Ben Smith stayed in contact with the boy's name was Jimmy Newcomer until his passing just a few weeks ago. I wanted something that I didn't bring up in that conversation, and I do want to make this point because Ben Smith is I believe to be, you know, we talk about kind of like the, you know, a controversial sort of not a great story with Patrick Kane. I do want to bring up Ben Smith to me seems like a really genuine good guy. And I do believe that in every you know, discussion I've ever had with Ben Smith, you can kind of tell how genuine he is and how nice of a guy he is. During the season, I mean, sometimes charitable functions and players doing things with charity are very well organized and orchestrated by the team, and you know, it's just kind of done for image. Ben Smith on his hockey sticks had Jimmy Newcomer's during the second half of last season had Jimmy Newcomer's initials written on his stick. And I remember I was standing in the locker room one day, and I was by the stick rack, and I looked, and you know, you see Ben Smith's stick sitting there, and I saw the initials JN, and you know, I kind of put two and two together, but then I asked to confirm, and sure enough, you know, Ben Smith also did go to Jimmy Newcomer's funeral. I found out after our show last week. Ben Smith is living in Chicago this summer, as are quite a few of the Blackhawks prospects. Ben Smith and Joe Labin are living together downtown at a building that I'm kind of familiar with. But they're living together and here for the summer. But Ben Smith drove out to Rockford to attend Jimmy Newcomer's funeral. So I just wanted to add those couple of things. I know a lot of people really like that story and were sending their comments. And you know, a lot of people, you know, Ben Smith recovering from that hip and hernia surgery. A lot of people wishing him well and hoping, kind of really even more so rooting for Ben Smith now to, you know, make a full recovery and potentially even make the Blackhawks out of training camp. So I did want to point that out.
That's a great story, and it's always nice to see, like you mentioned, so many of these charity functions, and not just with athletes, but just in celebrities in general, are all for image. All the, you know, it's one thing for a guy to go and visit kids in the hospital or you know, what it may be when there's no cameras around. He's doing it just to do it. Not because he's getting the PR out of it, not because it's a, you know, something that needs to be done for the team, but just to do it. And on a side note, you know, not hockey related, I heard a story about Matthew Stafford, the Lions quarterback in Detroit, did something the same thing, and he essentially, if I remember right, bought a huge package for a family in Detroit who has a few kids who are sick to come down and watch the Lions play the Bears. So he's actually bidding on this package to give to a family that he donated. You know, and once again, it was kind of a, he just did it to do it, not because this was a public, you know, affair sort of thing. And I thought that was a great story as well.
You know, now that I think of it, you bring that up, getting back to sometimes this is well orchestrated by PR people, and some of the worst people in the world are public relations people, but I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for saying that, but it's true. Marketing and, you know, but okay. They have a job to do, and they do it well. But over the weekend, this just happened. The UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, they had a pay-per-view on Saturday in Las Vegas, and a big deal was made. The main event, the UFC heavyweight champion, Junior Dos Santos, a big thing was made about he, you know, supposedly his biggest fan in Brazil, that Junior Dos Santos paid for his biggest fan, this like 11, 12-year-old boy. I don't even think he was that old. I think he was 10 years old. They flew him up to Las Vegas to see his favorite fighter fight, his family, and they had cage side seats and all that. And they played it up, and then after his fight, he went and grabbed the boy, and he brought him into the cage. Well, he didn't pay for anything. The UFC paid for it. The UFC took care of everything. They brought the kid up. And, you know, so those are the type of things that happen. It was a good idea until the truth leaked. And
yeah, and you know, it's like we said, it's one thing for a guy to do it just to do it out of the goodness of his heart, and another thing for it to be orchestrated for him, where it's like, hey, this is what's going on. We need you to show up to XYZ at XY, you know, time to do this, and it'll be really good for you, and it'll be really good for us. You know,
players who start charities because their agents say that it'll be a good tax deduction. And so it gives their wife something to do. Johnny Oduya and Jamal Mayers re-signed just a couple of days ago. Interesting, Jamal Mayers goes from he goes from making $550,000 last year to $650,000 this year, so he gets a little bit of a raise. He's a year older. By the time that the first month of the season, end of October, he'll be 38 years old. Jamal Mayers played center this year. I don't think that he'll be playing center in this coming season, whenever that begins. But $650,000 for Jamal Mayers, I didn't think it was that bad of a deal. I think it.
Wasn't a lot of that chunk all signing bonus as well?
No, $50,000 is a signing bonus. Johnny Oduya got $1 million signing bonus in the deal we're going to talk about in a minute. But, yeah, you're going to see a lot of that signing bonus money up front for guys that are smart and a little bit concerned that there'll be a work stoppage or the season will start late. Basically, the deal is when you get a signing bonus, all that signing bonus, it comes in the form of a lump sum, either on July 1st or the date that you sign, whenever that is after July 1st. So Jamal Mayers will get a $50,000 check or direct deposit from the Blackhawks on July 1st. Johnny Oduya will get $1 million one. This is, you know, I think the Mayers one is a little bit of insurance in case Brandon Bolig doesn't work out. You know, as a, you know, a guy who can bring a little of the rough stuff. You know, I think, how many fights did Jamal Mayers have? 9, something like that. 9, 10. Seemed like more than that, but I don't think he did. So, I mean, it's a veteran guy, going to play the wing. He can take some face-offs. He's a nice guy to have around. He doesn't have to play. I think we saw that this year, and he'll be another year older. That sitting him out every once in a while, you know, you'll still have him come playoff time. 2 years in a row now, Jamal Mayers, you know, sat out of some playoff games because, you know, the well had kind of run dry on him by the end of the season. So I think it's a good signing. I like Jamal Mayers. I don't have any problem with that signing at all. I know a lot of people are skeptical, I guess would be a good word, of the Johnny Oduya re-signing. Apparently, I guess I should say this, you know. Apparently, Stan Bowman didn't have any problems with his team because he's just re-signing all these guys. You know, there's nothing wrong with the Blackhawks, you know. They just re-sign all these guys, you know. What the heck? Let's try it all over again. Johnny Oduya, 3 years, $10.15 million. It's $4 million this coming season. He's going to be 31 by the time the season starts. $4 million in his first year. As we said, $1 million of that up front. $3.38 million cap hit, according to what's on CapGeek right now. Are you all right over there?
I'm good.
Okay. What do you think of the Johnny Oduya resigning?
You know, I had a problem with it. I think that's too big of a cap hit for what he is. But if you look around the league, there's a lot of guys with a lot high cap hit, and I just don't understand it. So it's an interesting signing with, you know, the possible worst stoppage, with, you know, when the season's going to start. You know, is this an insurance move? Just I thought Oduya played well. I think we talked about it last year. For what he was, I thought he was playing really well. Now, the problem I have is the cap hit. It's just so high.
Yeah, I don't have two things. Okay, I'm gonna, or maybe even three. I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll go.
A little tired today. first of all, I think from looking at this from a business perspective, the Blackhawks gave up, and I expected this re-signing because the Blackhawks gave up a second and a third round pick in 2013, and the Blackhawks have hit some home runs in the second round of late. So when you're talking about giving up a second and a third round pick for a player that you had for what, March and April, you had a player for 2 months, and to just let the guy go, I didn't expect that. And from a business perspective, no matter what you sign Johnny Oduya for, you still retain that asset. So if you get him for 1 year and he can play similarly to what he gave you up until the Phoenix series, you know, really, he basically gave it to you for 1 month. And we talked about that at the time. I mean, it was Johnny Oduya, a fresh start, fresh coat of paint, his focus, his attention to detail with that rejuvenation was at its peak. And I think you saw the best of Johnny Oduya in the month of March. And what you saw after that was closer to what he's going to be going forward. I really do believe that. I watched Johnny Oduya play in Winnipeg. I watched him play in Atlanta and New Jersey, and I think he's a nice player. I do believe, I agree with you that the cap hit's a little high. However, I think it's smart to retain your asset. I think it's smart to have the depth. If I'm going to overspend on any position, it's going to be defense. And I know a lot of people would say, well, a few years ago, the Blackhawks, you know, and critics said, well, you're spending too much money for your third pair. One of the reasons why Brent Sopel was let go, aside from the cap crunch, was, you know, how much money are you going to spend on your third pair? Well, assuming the cap goes up, which it'll go up, I think it'll go up somehow, whether it's in the form of a salary rollback or whether the cap just goes up, I think that the Blackhawks are going to have more than whatever it is right now, 2.3, whatever that number is right now. I think they're going to have more breathing room than that. If I'm going to spend money on a position, it's going to be on defense, because you can never have enough defense. My criticism of the Johnny Oduya signing, just as a player, forget what we just talked about business-wise and the depth part of it. I think what Johnny Oduya does for you today, I think a guy like Joe Lavin can do for you with a little bit of seasoning at the NHL level and for a lot cheaper. So, you know, I mean, there's a risk there because, you know, I mean, I think that you can get that out of Joe Lavin, but I it's going to take a little bit of time. Like I said, a little seasoning, but I don't know that for sure. So you go with the for sure move. You retain the asset. You can still trade the asset, and it improves your defense. You don't know what's going to happen with Monitor. You know, will he be okay? Will the Blackhawks let him play with a concussion again? That brilliant doctor staff that they have, that medical staff of the Blackhawks, Michael Terry, we hear how great that guy is. You know, let another guy with a concussion go out and knock his head off the wall. That's just great. You know, that's what the Blackhawks should be trying to improve, which is their medical staff. But I don't know. I don't have a problem with the signing. Really, you know, looking at it as a whole, I can't really, you know, complain or gripe about it too much. I think it's a smart move for them as a team. And again, you know, that's a lot to walk away from to get a guy for 2 months, a second and a third round pick, and then just let him walk. I don't think that's a smart business move.
I'd agree with you there.
Blackhawks also signed four of their draft picks. Two goalies, Matt Carruth, Ken Simpson. Joachim Nordstrom, who some people, if you watch the World Junior Championships, he was a pretty darn good player on Team Sweden last January. So maybe you saw him play there. And then also Klaas Dahlbeck, who's I think he's going to be 21 here beginning of July. I've actually heard a lot of good stuff about Dahlbeck. So, I mean, you know, look for him probably to play in Rockford and maybe even both of them. I haven't really talked to anybody about those guys recently. But signing them to get them in the fold, I don't think you sign Nordstrom's a pretty good player. I don't think you sign Dahlbeck unless he's coming over. And then Simpson and Carruth, they had to sign, otherwise they were going to be eligible to go back into the draft. You know, I was just looking at Blackhawks.com. I don't know that this is correct. I didn't believe it was. But on the Blackhawks website, they say that the Blackhawks have to sign Ludvig Rundsfeld, a 2010 draft pick who played for the Sarnia Sting this past season. They have to sign him by the end of this week or they lose his rights. I don't know that that's factual. I mean, I guess if it's coming from them, but that's, I don't know. I was under the, because since he's European, I thought that they would still retain his rights, but apparently not. If the Blackhawks say it, it must be true.
Well, and it's on the internet.
Yeah. But, we talked about Ken Simpson with Steven Nelson last week. Last game of the season in Rockford, he had a tremendous outing. Of course, the game meant nothing really to the Ice Hogs, but playing well for Ken Simpson and trying to end the season on a winning note for Ice Hogs fans, that didn't work out. They lost in the shootout, but still it was a great performance by him. As things stand now, by my count, and I did count this, the Blackhawks, you know, when you kind of look in terms of, like, okay, what are the Blackhawks doing? What do all these signings mean? As far as their 50-man roster, which is you can have 50 active contracts at any one time, and this would include guys that are RFAs right now that you would expect that they're going to re-sign. The Blackhawks have 48 spots locked down. Now, that would include re-signing Brandon Bolig, Ben Smith, Carter Hutton, and probably also Christy Domenico. I could see them going either way on him, to tell you the truth. But if not him, then you got Ludvig Rundsfeld. So you got 48 spots there. Now, if Philip Deneau goes back to junior, which he may. Mark McNeil will go back. You get those spots back. But, you know, there's a lot of movement left to be made here. You know, and I'm not talking about a trading Dave Boland or anything like that. You know, the Blackhawks have to – I'm sure they're going to do everything that they can to get out from the Rusty Oles contract. Alexander Salak, I know that they'd like to get rid of him. Andrew Burnett, Brendan Morrison, Sammy Lepisto, Sean O'Donnell, and, of course, Cristobal Huey. Those guys aren't coming back. The only restricted free agent that we know for sure isn't coming back, at least under a pro or NHL contract, is Simone Denny Pepin. And, of course, they re-signed Ray Emery and Dan Carcillo. So, I mean, they're pretty well stocked right now. I mean, the only guys that really, you know, I think that there's still a chance that Adam Clendenning could come out. But, you know, I think that's 50-50, but won't be determined probably until the prospect camp. And then, of course, Ludvig Rensfeld. But outside of that, everybody's going back to college for sure, and junior hockey. So we'll see what happens with Rensfeld here. And I can't believe that they just let that kid walk, but, you know, we'll see. All right, you want to do emails?
Let's do it.
Anything else pressing on your mind tonight?
Not really.
All right. This one's about Steven Nelson. We talked about that already. This guy had a question actually about Ben Smith. He had a comment about what we'd already talked about with Ben Smith, but then he kind of asked what my thoughts are on the odds that Ben Smith could win a spot on the fourth line with the Blackhawks. I don't know. I think with that injury, I think it's going to be very difficult for Ben Smith to start out in the Blackhawks, and certainly they're not going to count on him. And if you look at the depth chart, you know, and again, this it's going to change, but you know, because some of these guys aren't going to be back. But you look down the left side, you know, Ben Smith can play center for you if you actually absolutely need him to. But that's not his position. So he's either going to be on the left wing or the right wing. It's, okay, well, on the right side, what do you got? You have Hossa. I would imagine Carcillo's going to end up playing the right wing just because it would make sense that he'd play with Kane and Sharp if Kane ends up at center, which is Stan Bowman's wish, apparently. So you, let's just say on one side you had Hossa, Carcillo, Shaw, Mayers, you know, Jimmy Hayes, Jeremy Morin, Ben Smith. On the left side you got Stahlberg. You know, again, some of these guys can flip, but you had Stahlberg, Sharp, Bickle, Frolik, Bolig, potentially Brandon Saad, and you throw Kyle Beach in there. You know, I mean, it doesn't – down the middle, Taves, Kane, Boland, Kruger, Peary, you know, I don't see them asking Ben Smith to stick around as a 13th forward. So to me, he just looks like with that injury and just where Ben Smith was at the end in Rockford anyhow, you know, and I don't know how long he was playing with that injury, but I mean, he was playing pretty well AHL wise, but it wasn't like he was about to be called up when he got injured. But hopefully, I mean, Ben Smith, I've talked about him many times. I mean, Ben Smith, all around, is one of Rockford's best players, if not the most complete player that they had, you know, at the forward position anyhow in Rockford. Okay. Remember how I asked that question, or I read that question or comment last week about how I didn't interrupt Dieter Kurtenbach when he was, you know, saying something that contradicted, you know, when he was talking about trading Patrick Sharp, that Patrick Sharp was the Blackhawks' most tradable asset.
Yes.
Okay. Well, now we have an email. I'm not even going to read it because I couldn't even begin to read it. I mean, this is close to being email from adult material. But basically the guy is really aggravated that I have Al on, and that, you know, it's one of his comments here is that Al and I must share a brain because we never disagree on anything, and, you know, I don't know. I'm not, none of this makes sense. But basically he doesn't like Al or me. I hope he dislikes you, too. I don't want you to be left out.
What did I do? I disagree with you all the time.
Yeah, he says here, Chris, you never disagree with Al, even when he makes a stupid, inane comment about something so obviously wrong that you lose integrity by not disagreeing with him. I can't even think of one thing that Al says that outlandishly broken that I'd have to disagree with him on merit. I don't even know. Just for that, I'm gonna have Al on the show next week. That's what you get for complaining.
People don't want to be angry.
Let's go through the rest of these. You'd think I'd be more prepared for this since it was something that we were going to talk about.
You would think, but then if you really thought that, you haven't listened to our show for the last 2 years.
Two? We're working on four almost. Oh, you know what? We didn't do our plugs. Damn it. I have everything written down here. Do you remember what they are?
No.
Well, first of all, I am going to be a guest. I know this one off the top of my head. The other ones I have to pull up. I'm going to be a guest on Hockey Nights Puckcast. I don't know that we're going to do a show next week just because I'm just really, honestly, just too busy for this right now, as you can hear as the show grinds to a halt. But I am going to be a guest on Sunday night, June 10th. Sunday night, June 10th, HockeyNight.com's Puckcast, and we are going to be talking for however long they want to talk about the 2012 NHL draft that's happening at the end of June in Pittsburgh. I'm sure we'll be talking specifically about how that pertains to the Blackhawks and what the Blackhawks are going to do and players that Blackhawks are picking at. Let's see, I'm trying to do the math in my head. Got knocked down the first round. 17th? The 18th. Blackhawks will pick 18th again. They picked 18th last. So Blackhawks will pick 18th. I'm sure we'll be talking about that again. So Sunday night, June 10th, Puckcast with those guys. So look forward to that. So I don't know if we'll do one next week or not. It took us 3 days to do this one. I might need a couple of – I had every intention of doing this on Tuesday night. And – during the day, I was just like, "There's no way I'm going to be awake for this." I go by 8 o'clock, I'll be on this. I'll have all my notes like on my chest, along with like my Italian beef sandwich and all that. And then as it turned out, by 8 o'clock, I was wide awake. So that's how it works. But anyway. And then Forklift, the illustrious Forklift, emailed me after listening to our show last week and reminded me about Hockey Nights doing a special get-together, because we talked about how we don't want to be disingenuous and say that, you know, we want to meet the people. Well, Hockey Nights doing another gathering. And you're invited, Superstar. It's going to be on Friday night, June the 15th at Galway Bay. I never remember the address of that place, so I have to go to HockeyNight.com, and hopefully they wrote it. No, they didn't. we might have found somebody that's worse at self-promotion than us. They've invited people somewhere and then didn't give them the address. That's quite brilliant.
At least they told you where. It's not like a true scavenger hunt around the city.
Yeah, there's not too many Galway Bays. Galway's at 500 West Diversity Parkway, Chicago 60614. So, Galway Bay, Friday night, June 15th, hockey night, and I guess I have to go because they're advertising me. So, I didn't even know about it, and they're advertising me. So I guess I have to go.
Yeah, you have to go and represent. I will not be able to make that. Thank those guys for the invite, though, due to some other things I got to take care of. But we will be getting together the following night at All Stars Bar and Grill.
Keep going.
For a little fight cancer benefit, $30. Open bar and buffet, 7 to 10. Block has the address for you, but it's basically the corner of Wells and Wacker. West side of the street on Wells.
Yeah, you know, I have to log into Facebook for this. I don't even know my password.
Maybe we really are bad at promotion, but we will be there. Like Block mentioned last week, it is not our event. We will be at the event, and
yes, we are going to be there. We're featured at the event, but it's not our event. It is at All Stars Bar and Grill on Wells, downtown Chicago, basically Wacker and Wells. They intersect. It's one building. No matter if you enter on Wacker or Wells, you will get there. It's on the first floor, All Stars Bar and Grill. And there we go. Yes, it's basically a gathering for people who hate cancer, and we would fall under that umbrella.
Yes, cancer is bad. We want to fight it, and we will drink for a cure.
$30 to get in the door, and it is called Drinking for the Cancer Cure 3. They've had three of these. Saturday night, June 16th, 2012, 7 to 10 p.m., $30 gets you in the store. Buffet, open bar. Doesn't say exactly what, but open bar.
You know what? I've actually clarified. It is, I believe, domestic drafts, house wine, and well cocktails.
205 West Wacker or 222 North Wells. It's directly across from the street from the building I used to work in.
And don't worry if you're going to show up a little late to that. Still come on down because it is a sure thing that the night will not be ending at 10 o'clock.
Oh, no. Ours won't, anyway. We're gonna head down Randolph Street. We'll kind of cut over there to Emmett's. I know we'll probably do the Poor Richards, and then we'll encompass that vicinity. We'll do the thing.
We'll do the thing, and so I don't want to throw this out there, but you're all welcome to join us on the night and see where Locke and I will wake up in the morning.
Yeah, you want to take pictures of. I don't think either of us would ever fall asleep on a bar, but not as long as the lights were on. So,
no. As long as somebody's behind the bar serving drinks, it's a pretty good bet that we'll be awake.
That's a doubleheader right there, superstar. That's Friday night, June 15th, hockey night's second annual Irish Wake. You know, Fork emailed me the other day. I never want to know what that guy's up to. He emailed me the other day. He's looking for a casket.
Oh, Jesus. Thank God, and please don't. Please do not give my email address to Forklift. Because I don't want to know what he's up to either. And I don't want to get CC'd on an email saying, hey, guys, we're looking for a casket. Can you help us out?
All right, you want to do these romance advices?
Let's do it. I'm jacked for this. I've been looking forward to this segment all day.
Okay, this one comes from someone who nobody actually, both these, I got two emails and both of them specifically said, please do not say my name. this first one, I laughed so hard. I shouldn't even say this because this person is coming to me for advice, but I thought this was a rib at first. And then, see, I don't know that this segment's a good idea because I want to help people. I really do. It's in my nature to help people. I mean, even like in relationships, like I always think I can make people better even when they're just, they have no hope for being better. I do. I want to make people better. And
yeah, I know you, I know you, but let me stop you there because I think there's obviously some good natured ribbing that's going to go on because we're just like anybody else sitting at a bar. If your buddy comes up to you and asks you a question about something, you're going to give him a little shit, so you're going to help the guy out. So I think just by these guys emailing you, they knew they were opening themselves up for a little ribbing.
All right, here we go. Chris, I've been with my girlfriend for over a year now, and recently she she dictated to me that we were only going to have sex from this point forward on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Sounds like you need to call weekend girlfriend. That's what I would do.
Find another girl for the rest of the day.
I think she's leaving the door open for weekend girlfriend. I think is what she's doing. I'm sure she's a nice girl. See, okay, but I knew at this point I needed more information. All joking aside, there has to be more to this story, right, Superstar?
Yeah, I mean, if that was all that was written, there's not, I mean, I don't, okay.
Well, no, he kind of went on, but I have to stop him right there because there has to be a reason why she only wants to be intimate on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So to summarize, because this went back and forth, like I spent way too much time on this problem this week, but all due respect. Basically, here's the deal. This guy has softball on Mondays. He has bowling on Wednesdays. And, of course, on the weekends, he goes out and gets to drinking, right? So basically the story is that according to his other half, he gets a little too freaky when he's been a little too drinky.
You know, it's a problem a lot of us have had.
Speak for yourself. What do you do for this guy, Superstar? Tuesdays and Thursdays is, you know.
Well, you know, Block, here's what I would do. First thing, I mean, if you're going to be all serious, though, maybe try being a little less drinky at bowling and softball. I mean, that could be a start.
What if that's not possible?
That's got to be possible. I mean,
what if this
just,
guy's name is Patrick Kane?
I mean, I'm not saying don't, you know, partake in a beverage or two or three or four while you're out, you know, at softball or after softball or during bowling. Just don't drink 12 and see how that goes.
Have you had this conversation already this week?
No. Luckily, I passed out before this conversation was on the horizon. I was like, I'm going to bed. The other, you know, speaking of this weekend, though, I suggest buy your wife 50 Shades of Grey. I've heard, you know, personal experience, and I've heard from others, it's done wonders for people in that department. So, you know, while you're out playing softball, she can be at home reading this book. By the time you get home, she's all revved up and in the mood.
Well, that would make Tuesdays and Thursdays much better, but I think this guy wants to know, what does he do about the other 5 days of the week? I'd keep the book away from her on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Right, right.
In all seriousness, here's what I would suggest. If you want to get too drinky after softball and bowling, go right ahead. I would suggest sacrificing one of your weekend days to not get too drinky, and maybe that would bleed over into the other days. Of course, you could take Superstar's advice and drink less, but that doesn't sound fun.
No, it's definitely not nearly as fun, but, you know.
But if you're out there though, and your girlfriend's dictating which days you're going to have sex, and it doesn't have to do with drinking, I would find yourself a new girlfriend. I would never be able to put up with that. I'm on 11 all the time. Chris, blah blah blah. I'm a freshman in college, and my problem is, one of my best friends is a girl who I happen to be in love with, but I don't think she knows this. My question for you is there a good way that you would suggest for me to introduce this without, you know, this is impossible, without risking the friendship?
No, there's no way. Anytime you're going to throw yourself out there, you're going to risk the friendship. Unfortunately.
I can help this guy.
Yeah, we talked about this briefly, and I think you've come up with a perfect strategy for it.
I can help this guy. So basically the gist of this is he's a freshman. She's a freshman. Again, he wrote me a long email. They're both freshmen, and they've been friends since junior high. They ended up at the same college. They're very good friends, but he's in love with this girl. My suggestion would be this. Let her bang as many dudes as she wants in the next 2 years of college.
That's probably not the best start that you wanted to hear right now, but...
No, I'm sure he didn't want to hear that right now. But I would let her do her own thing for the next 2 years, because here's the deal. If she really is one of your best friends, like you said, if you introduce this now, say you do get into a relationship, in college, everybody's stupid. So this isn't going to work out more than likely if you start this thing now. I would suggest waiting to have this conversation or introduce this until you're seniors. When you're a little bit more mature, hopefully, and she's experienced other things, but maybe, perhaps, hopefully, values your friendship that much more by the time senior year rolls around. But at the same time, I think that you need to wean off that friendship gradually over the next 2 years, do your own thing more often, and don't flaunt what you're doing in front of her. Because that's bad. So I say bang away for sophomore and junior year, and then if you're both still single, approach your senior year. Because if it doesn't work out, then screw it. It's senior year, doesn't work out. But if it's one of your best friends, do you want to risk the? Would you risk the friendship?
No. Not as
somehow I know I articulated this much, much better on Monday when I was a little bit liquored up. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree.
And, you know, there's no rush to this. It's a four-year deal. It's a four-year deal, right? College, 5 years for some people, six, seven, nine for others. It's a four-year deal. There's no rush. Don't rush into this. Be very careful about what you're doing. If you really like the girl that much, you're still going to want to be friends with her. So wait to introduce the relationship thing. And if at the end of the 2 years, if you're still into her that way, it'll be even better at that point. Of course, unless she contracts gonorrhea at the time, then it won't be much better.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really good friends with her and she comes to you and says, will you take me to the clinic, you might want to transfer.
Of course, I'm joking about the gonorrhea part. All right, so you're right. It was an abomination.
It wasn't as bad as it could have been.
I think we helped two people. I don't know. Those were our emailers. Probably, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope we get more emails on this subject.
I hope you do too. Puckchatter@gmail.com, Chris Block at thethirdmanin.com. Those would be the two places. Anything else before we go, Superstar?
You know what? Yeah, one other thing I want to say as a Blackhawks fan, it's almost a good thing to see, but Nick Lindstrom retires today after 20 years with the Detroit Red Wings and just an absolute amazing career, surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. And obviously, I don't know Nick Lindstrom personally, but from what everyone has said, the perfect human, as they call him, and supposedly one of the really good guys in the league. So the league will miss him. As a Blackhawks fan, I will not. But congratulations to him on an amazing career.
I'll miss him. I think he's the greatest. I think he's the best, the greatest defenseman of our generation. Probably a generation and a half, I guess you could say. And I don't know, I guess you could go ahead and fit that Red Wing sweater onto Ryan Suter right now. I know, but even so, I think that in the next couple of years, I don't even think people in Detroit realize how good he is, and I mean, maybe they do. I'm sure there are a lot of people that do, but, even at 40 years old, the guy was still top five defenseman in the league, maybe top three. He did slow down a little bit this year. I was shocked that he decided to call it quits, but it would make sense that he would do it, kind of blindside you with it, for there not to be a lot of speculation about it. I think most people did expect him to come back another year. I know a lot of people have sort of kind of thrown out the fact that the Winter Classic at the Big House, why wouldn't he want to be a part of that, and just kind of assumed that he would come back. I thought he would come back just because he was still playing at a very high level. But,
I did see that on Twitter as well. Somebody had mentioned it's very rare that a guy walks away when, he's still in the top five of his position in the league. It's very rare that a guy says, hey, I'm done. But
good for him. I mean, good for him to do that, though. Good for him to walk away. Maybe he realized something this year that it was his time. Let's face it. The last year of Wayne Gretzky's career wasn't Gretzky-like at all. And, it was time for Gretzky to go, and it was bittersweet. And I don't think anybody has bad memories of it because it was still Wayne Gretzky. But, I mean, Gretzky probably walked away a year too late. And, congrats to Nick Lidstrom for not walking away a year too late, for being a guy that's, still playing at or near the top of his level, and you know, walks away, you know, at the right time. And hopefully, if this, you know, this obviously is his decision, he made it official today, and hopefully it stays that way. He's not like a Dominic Hasek that just can't give it up, you know.
Yeah,
Dominic
Hasek,
by the way, Dominic Hasek wants to go. The only team that he played for that he's not interested in coming back to is probably the only team that may need him. And that's the Blackhawks. Dominic Hasek does not have good memories of his time spent in Chicago. He's interested in playing for Detroit. He's interested in playing for Buffalo. He'll even go to Tampa, which he didn't play for, but not interested in going to Chicago.
That's, yeah, who knows? I did hear that Lindstrom's son is moved back to Sweden to go to school and start his hockey career. So wonder if the oldest Lindstrom kind of going back overseas had anything to do with him walking away and maybe wanting to spend a little more time with his kids.
I would imagine so. All right. Like I said, we'll see about a show next week. If not, Sunday night, June 10th, I'm on with Hockey Night, hockeynight.com, their podcast, which you can listen to live if you register at talkshoe.com, all together, all one word, talkshoe.com. I'm assuming it's going to be at like 7, 8 o'clock at night on Sunday. I don't even know. But we'll be doing that, and of course you can check it out on their site after that, and we will talk to you at some point in the next couple of weeks as well. Superstar, anything left to say?
No, I think that wraps it up, buddy.
All right. Okay, good. I'm just looking at our switchboard, and the last couple of weeks, there's this like strange things that happens with the switchboard. Like this happened when Dieter, like for the people to listen to the Dieter show, like. We both got disconnected like the first 5 minutes of the show, and then we came back on. But even though I was talking to Dieter never appeared on the switchboard. So I didn't even know if he was on the call, you know, and like he was being recorded. I couldn't tell. So we did another hour plus or whatever with him not even being on the switchboard. You're on the switchboard, but your time is not running. So I don't know what the hell is going on with Blog Talk Radio. I'm getting a bang for my $40 a month here.
That a boy.
Gee, it's still not working.
Look at you. Why don't you do something with your life? Sit around here all day. You contribute nothing to society.
I just wanted to see if that works.
I'm out there, Jerry, and I'm loving every minute.
All right, Superstar. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you whenever that is next time. Good night, everybody.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
Well, you'd be embarrassed and humiliated in front of a large group of people and have to walk out in shame with your tail between your legs.
Yeah,
so? Yeah, I see what you mean. I forgot who I was dealing with.